Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is WPRI.com digital reporter Ted Nesi. Thanks for joining us, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our special guest, the mayor of Warwick, Scott Avedisian. Thanks for joining us, Mayor.
My pleasure.
Census figures showed that about 25,000 people have left Rhode Island since 2004, cutting both consumer spending and tax revenue for the state. Scott, what is your sense of how serious a problem this is for Rhode Island and what can be done to reverse it?
Well, first of all, it's a demographic problem. We have one of the oldest states. The census shows that we're about sixth in the country in the number percentage of residents 65 or over. So that's part of the reason we don't have also a strong enough economy bringing people here, young people here who are in their childbearing years. The other thing is we're going to lose a congressional seat. Now, that was probably going to happen anyway, but that's going to dilute our clout in Washington. So this is a real challenge for Rhode Island, and I don't think people move for taxes. I think they move for jobs. And if we had a stronger economy, I think this wouldn't be happening.
What do you say, Mayor?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems we have is we get people to come here for college. We have great colleges and universities. They take a look once they're done with their schooling, and there's no viable reason for them to stay here. So they go anywhere else in search of that job that Scott was talking about, and then we never get them back. You know, if we had a viable economy that would keep them here, we wouldn't be seeing that kind of a decline.
Ted, you spoke with an economist who had a different perspective on this. Let's hear about that.
Well, his point was more just we have to get the nuance right, which is pretty much reflects what the mayor and Scott said, which is it's jobs, jobs, jobs. People are probably leaving because they cannot find jobs. The only thing I'd add to that is we started losing people in 2004 when we had a very low unemployment rate falling all the way into 2006. So that does suggest there may be some deeper problems. I do think housing is very expensive here, and the tax burden is fairly high compared with our neighboring states, which are well and able to offer better services.
Senate President Teresa Pivoweed this week named her picks for the committee that will review same-sex marriage legislation. As a result, the Judiciary Committee is closely divided between supporters and opponents of same-sex marriage. Ted, what's your sense of why Pivoweed made these picks in a way that left a very opaque outlook?
Well, I think you wrote the best thing about it, Ian, which is that it's, you know, she didn't put her fingerprints on killing this or making sure it goes through. She left some ambiguity, as you wrote. I think I might be in the minority. I think this is a fairly positive outcome for the advocates of same-sex marriage, considering they couldn't even get the committee to vote before. Now they have potentially 5 votes in favor if Paul Jabor, which I think he's going to be under pressure from his district to do so. So I think they have a path to get it out of committee. That's no guarantee, but I think, you know, considering what they've been up against in the Senate in previous years, I don't think they can be that upset with this outcome.
Mayor Avedisian, how do you see the role for elected officials like yourself who are supportive of on this issue now? Do you think people like you, Angel Taveras, Gina Raimondo should be speaking out on this?
I think that you have a good group of people who are all trying to work together on issues, and it's not just looking from a legislative perspective anymore. You have a whole group of mayors that are trying to be vocal on a lot of different issues, and I think you're going to see more and more people speak out across the board on a number of different things.
Scott, another in a series of incremental steps as this issue creeps forward. What do you think will prove decisive in how same-sex marriage will play out this year?
Well, the problem with what Pivoweed has done, of course, it's one of these statehouse maneuvers where she's thrown a huge curveball into the process. And hopefully, for the same-sex marriage side, that this won't be used as one of those hostage statehouse bills. You know, we always hope that this kind of an issue will rise or fall on its merits. But you know, at the statehouse, that's like believing in the Easter Bunny.
Let's go to some questions for our special guest, Mayor Avedisian. Mayor, you've just been inaugurated again. You have been mayor of Warwick for about 14 years. Is it possible that you might run for a different office in 2014, or are you more likely to be mayor of Warwick in perpetuity?
I think everyone realizes that you run your course, and I would not rule anything out. We have a couple of issues that still need to be resolved, so I'm busy and there's lots of things to do. On top of that, I think, you know, I'm been enthused and interested in what's going on at RIPTA and a lot of work going on there, but I wouldn't rule anything out for 2014.
And you're chairman of RIPTA for people who might not know that. Let's go to Scott.
Mayor for life. One thing I'm interested in, Mayor, is consolidation. Everybody talks a really good game in this state about merging municipal functions. And yet, even though we're in a recession, very little seems to be done on a big scale. I know you in East Providence, East Greenwich, have worked on police dispatching. But what is the big roadblock to getting more done?
Well, I think everyone's territorial. You look at what do you have to give up? And then in every county, there are certain people that no one wants, certain entities that nobody wants to have to, you know, go and do work with. You know, when we look at all of Kent County, if we were to buy health care together, everything's good, except there are two communities that bring everyone else down. So no one wants to have to pay more to help someone else out. So everyone talks great game about, oh, regionalization is the way to go and we can save money. But when it comes down to the details, everyone gets very territorial and doesn't want to give at all.
Let's go to Ted.
Mayor, a lot of people suggesting you could run for lieutenant governor in 2014, but it's no secret you've always had some problems with the more conservative wing of your party, the Republican Party. I mean, do you think you'd be able to get a nomination for higher office from a party where a lot of people are more conservative than you?
Well, I think that you will see that Mayor Fung, Brendan Doherty, and I will all be talking about what we're all going to do together. And I think you'll have a unified group of people going forward looking at the best possible candidates for the party, regardless of whether they're moderate, liberal, or conservative voices.
Do you know something that we don't know about Brendan Doherty?
No, I think we've all been trying to make sure that we're staying in contact with one another so that we're not all stepping on one another's toes as we move forward.
And do you think there's room? I mean, the Republican Party got wiped out again in Rhode Island this year. I mean, do you think there's room or is it time to just turn off the lights and go home?
Well, I go back to when I got involved in politics and the people who were involved then, and we had a very enthusiastic and eager group of people who wanted to govern, and it included the likes of Ed DePreet, Lila Sappinsley, Susan Farmer, Claudine Schneider, Ron Makeley, John Chafee, you know, and there was a mix of moderate and conservative voices there. And I think if we grow that again and we allow people who have felt like they've been disenfranchised by either party to find the Republican Party as a home, that we'd be better off.
Speaking of Republicans, we've seen a couple of lawmakers at the State House this week of the GOP persuasion try and put the brakes on this state education merger. People like Brian Newberry, Dawson Hodgson say it's wrong to empower the combined education board overseeing K-12 and higher education without first figuring out how it will operate. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I would rather that they have two boards, each running their own separate entity. I think it's going to be very difficult to have one group of people look at educational policy from K all the way up through college.
Scott, is this merged education board a train wreck in the making?
Look, this was another one of these great backroom deals done at the Smith by the Smith Hill gang at the last minute of the session. As we all know, they had no hearings. They had no studies. It looks like it was a deal cut for former State House insider George Carullo. Then Carullo decided, well, he really didn't want the job as chairman of this thing. So I have no clue what's going to happen from here.
If I can put in a good government thing here for a second. You know, this is a problem in the budget process where everything gets stuffed into that budget bill at the end of the session without hearings. This education board, people at home might not realize, this was not a separate bill. This was a deep in the budget appropriations bill to run the state for the year. 38 Studios, the loan program was stuffed into the budget, and the budget is a must-pass bill, usually at the end of the session when they're lording it over a lot of lawmakers. So some states have rules where the budget has to pass by a certain point in the session so they can move on to other things without it hanging over their head. I think reformers might want to look at something like that to make it so the budget can't be a place for all this mischief.
And it certainly would be more helpful to cities and towns because we go through our budget process not knowing what their budget's going to look like, and you make your best guess every year.
Well, it's not like the House Speaker would hold up his support for legislators' pet projects to extract their support for the budget, right?
No, that would never happen.
No, that wouldn't.
Very quickly, Mayor, you are the chairman of RIPTA. How is the outlook for putting that agency on a more sustainable footing in the future?
Well, I think what we've seen with the resource team under the direction of Lieutenant Colonel Ray Studley that's gone in there, we see a need for major procedures and policies to be enacted. And I think you'll see the board over the next 2 to 3 months starting to put into place the procedures and the policies that should have been there, that weren't put there. And then I think once we get that foundation done, we'll start moving forward again.
What is the status of CEO Charles Odemwe?
He is still on administrative leave, and we have been meeting and trying to figure out what the direction will be for all of us.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
WPRI.com digital reporter Ted Nesi.
Thank you.
And Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog and check out our redesigned website at ripr.org.